Don't touch the dial on that radio. Just pull up a chair and become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're studying some stories from the Old Testament. You know, that old Bible is full of some of the best stories that are ever told. And these are not made up tales or stories, just like fantasy stories. These are the real events of things that happened between God and His chosen people. And from them, there's so many lessons we can learn. And right now, we're studying a Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sunday schools of July the 17th, 1927, by E.A. Elam, about that time that Samuel goes to the house of Jesse to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. Now, Samuel does not know which one of these sons it will be, and he thought it would be the eldest, but he's going to find out that it wasn't any of the first seven sons. It was one of the sons that wasn't even there at the moment. He was out watching the sheep. And of course, you'll know this is David. We're going to read this account, and we'll read Elam's Sunday school notes on this in just a moment. First, let me remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read for you the lesson text about Jesse's sons. I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 16, verses, verses 6 through 12. And here is where we read, "It came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely Jehovah's anointed is before him. But Jehovah said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For Jehovah seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Jehovah looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath Jehovah chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath Jehovah chosen this. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Jehovah hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he is keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ready, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look upon. And Jehovah said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Let me read to you now from Elam's Sunday School notes. Eliab, Jesse's firstborn, was tall, strong, and fine-looking. And for this reason, Samuel said, Surely Jehovah's anointed is before him. Such a figure was Saul, and God had selected him, and Samuel would naturally conclude that he would select again one of similar appearance. Eliab was with Saul in the battle, and when Saul saw any mighty man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. Eliab is called Elihu in 1 Chronicles 27:18. This time God did not select according to physical appearance, although David was of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look upon. But Jehovah said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. His countenance and height were not the test. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Jehovah looketh on the heart. The true test is not outward appearance, but what one really is at heart. Not how he looks, but what he is. And so I ask the question, when God looks on you, what does he see? He sees your heart. And so you ask yourself, when God looks on my heart, who does he see? It is frequently stated in the Bible that God searches the heart and knows the heart and judges according to the intents of the heart. Well, Abinadab, Jesse's second son, was also rejected. He too followed Saul into battle. Shammah, the third son, was likewise rejected. These men may have been worthy men, but they were rejected by Jehovah only as unfit to be king. Shammah is called Shemiah in 2 Samuel 13:3 and Shimei in 2 Samuel 21:21 and Shimeah in 1 Chronicles 2 and verse 13. Jonadab, Shimeah's son, was a very subtle man, 2 Samuel 13:3, and Jonathan, another one of his sons, was a brave man, 2 Samuel 21. Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, but none of them were accepted. Jesse had eight sons and two daughters, 1 Chronicles 2 and verse 16. David was the youngest son. In 1 Chronicles 2:15, David said to be Jesse's seventh son, and why we cannot definitely state, perhaps one of the other sons had been killed. From Samuel's declaration to Jesse, Jehovah hath not chosen these. It seems that Samuel had explained to Jesse his mission, although some people think that while Samuel let it be known that the Lord desired one of Jesse's sons for a special purpose, that purpose was not yet made known. Since God had chosen not one of these, Samuel asked Jesse if these were all his sons. Jesse informed him that there was one more, the youngest, who was keeping the sheep. Samuel knew, therefore, that he must be the one. Hence he said, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. That is, I will not sit down to eat the feast." David was not far away, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and that word we think means he had auburn hair and fair skin. And withal, he was of a beautiful countenance. The margin in the American Standard Version says that he was fair of eyes and goodly to look upon. Somewhat after this manner, Jehovah and Moses are described. David at this time was young, for Saul later on called him a youth, but he was active and strong, for he slew single-handed a lion and a bear, and said his arms did bend a bow of brass. When he appeared, the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." From the flocks David was taken to be shepherd of God's people, and from God the manger came forth, from the manger came forth the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Interesting comparison and analogy there, isn't it? Now let me read to you 1 Samuel 12, verse 13. It says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of Jehovah came mightily upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, fulfilling his mission. And according to God's command in the preceding verse, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him." That's anointed David in the presence of his brethren, all of whom had been rejected by the Lord as unprepared in heart to be king. This anointed was doubtless done privately, as in Saul's case. The intention was not to proclaim it to the world yet. This assured David that God was pleased with him and had honored him in making him the Lord's anointed. In this particular, he represented the Lord on earth among the people. As in the case of Saul, so in David's case, as soon as he was anointed, The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of Jehovah came mightily upon David from that day forward. David was not always under the influence of the Spirit, but the Spirit was with him from that day forward. The Spirit was not with Saul, for the Spirit of Jehovah departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from Jehovah troubled him. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14. The Spirit gave David wisdom and guided him to do the things which, in his surroundings, were best. The Spirit did not protect him from temptation and sin, as his afterlife shows. God never miraculously endowed men with the Spirit to shield them from temptation and sin. Everyone must overcome these, as Paul brought his body and his passions under subjection. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27. The Spirit departed from Saul because he refused to be guided by the Spirit. When his mission had been performed, Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The remainder of this chapter shows how David was introduced into Saul's family. This lesson is only the beginning of David's eventful life. The following six lessons give much of David's experience with Saul, his sins and sorrows and penitence, but much of his eventful life we have not space to study in these lessons. Now, at the end of this Sunday school lesson is this selected rhyme: just to be tender, just to be true, just to be glad the whole day through, just to be merciful, just to be mild, just to be trustful as a little child, just to be gentle and kind and sweet, just to be helpful with willing feet, just to be cheery when things go wrong, just to drive sadness away with a song, whether the hour is dark or bright, just to be loyal to God and right. I turn the page in my Sunday school book, and I say our next lesson, from lessons prepared for the Sunday schools of July the 24th, 1927, is about that story of David and Goliath. Let me read the text. 1 Samuel 17, 31 through 51. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant was keeping his father's sheep, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant smote both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Jehovah that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and Jehovah be with thee." And Saul clad David with his apparel, and he put on a helmet of brass on his head, and he clad him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his apparel and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, I have not proved them." And David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had in the wallet, and the sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near David, and the man that bare the shield was before him. Well, we're going to continue this study of David and Goliath in our next class. The golden text is going to be Psalm 27:1. Jehovah is thy light and salvation.